Broadcast of the Economic Club of Indiana Speaker Series is made possible in part by ProLiance Energy. ProLiance, adding power to energy. Information is at ProLiance.com.
Welcome to the Economic Club of Indiana. Tom Snyder is this month's speaker. Snyder was a tremendously successful CEO of Delco Remy International before taking over the presidency of Ivy Tech Community College in 2007. Ivy Tech is Indiana's largest institute of higher education. It realized revenue increases of $3 million during Snyder's first year. Snyder's business experience is an asset when it comes to managing the 23-campus system. It also gives him a unique understanding of the role education needs to play in the development of future workforce talent. Snyder's current initiative is expanding education opportunities to urban and rural areas. Snyder says it will improve workforce diversity and will have lasting benefits for Hoosier businesses and students alike.
I wanted to talk a little bit about today about the shared responsibility and the shared opportunity that we have with Ivy Tech. But first, to set the record straight, everyone here who is a student or alum, who has an Ivy Tech student in the family or a former student, works for Ivy Tech, advises Ivy Tech, supports Ivy Tech in some other way, or is on an advisory board, please raise your hand, okay? So there are a few people here on a voluntary basis. I appreciate that. I want to give credit to the State Chamber of Commerce for what they've done with the Economic Club. They've not only preserved it, but they've grown this forum. And I'm contributing this year by contributing my speaker's fee. So as part of that cost reduction, Kevin took away my teleprompter. You know, there's a debate about teleprompter or not. He took it away. But I've written down a few notes. It says I'm not a candidate for the U.S. Senate. Senator Coates will be really pleased to hear that. Let me introduce my wife, Bobette, to you. Bobette's over here at table 21. Please stand and wave. At dinner last month, a younger couple asked her the secret for 42 years of marriage. She leaned over and said, not so quietly, he's been out of town for 20. So I'm not going to tell Snyder stories today. I'm going to talk about Ivy Tech. And to tell the story about Ivy Tech, it's really best to hear from students. One of these students is Dave Murphy from Kokomo. Dave worked in manufacturing for 25 years, and then he had a crisis. He discovered he needed an organ transplant. And after a successful organ transplant, he decided he should change his life. He actually went to Ivy Tech, became a nurse, and then went to work for the Indiana Organ Procurement Organization. Here's Dave's story.
The one thing I believe Ivy Tech does best is give people that personal attention to make a career change, give them that confidence. I looked at all options when I was ready to go back to school. The affordability, of course, was a big thing, but I enjoyed the small class sizes. I knew I'd get more personal attention. I would encourage anybody that's wanting to make a career change to go to Ivy Tech. I found after I graduated and went looking for a job, prospective employers held Ivy Tech in high regard. It was very respected. I'm absolutely happy I made the career change I did. It's opened up new doorways. I'm doing things now I never dreamed I'd be doing years ago.
We're also proud of Leah Brusker. She was not satisfied with the traditional education from her high school. She was determined to finish on time. She enrolled at Ivy Tech in Richmond. She not only finished at the age of 17, she got ahead of the game. She got her GED and a business degree from Ivy Tech at the same time, 17. She received then and went immediately to Ball State, where she got her accounting degree, her four-year accounting degree, at the age of 19. She was not finished. Instead, she continued on to law school. In 2008, at the age of 22, Leah had earned her law degree from the IU School of Law, Indianapolis, and now serves as legal counsel for Baldwin and Lyons in Indianapolis. Let's listen to Leah.
First, they gave me confidence, and they helped me know that I could do anything, that I did have the abilities to continue my education, and that even though I did not have a high school diploma, I was able to go on to finish at Ivy Tech I went on and finished a four-year degree, and I went on and completed law school. Ivy Tech gave me an opportunity to go to college that I would not have had in any other way.
Crystal Boston is another one of our success stories, and frankly, a good friend of mine. She graduated from Ritter High School here in Indianapolis and immediately went to work. Later, as a divorced single mom, she decided she really couldn't go to college. A friend talked her into Ivy Tech. She went to Ivy Tech and was able to balance her life issues, work, college, raising children. In fact, ultimately, as a volunteer, she was president of the Indianapolis Student Government Association for Ivy Tech. After graduating from Ivy Tech, she transferred to IUPUI on a scholarship, and she hopes to continue on to grad school. Here's Crystal's story.
Ivy Tech offers a very affordable education. I found out that not only was it affordable and close to home, but it had so many more other avenues to offer. Some employers have tuition reimbursement programs through Ivy Tech where they will send you to school and pay for all your books, all your classes, all your supplies. It actually puts you out there with the people that you're going to be working for. The return on investment is 200% plus. You can basically get a degree for less than what it will cost you of 2 years at a four-year school. Ivy Tech was like a parent helping me to take my first steps toward my college education, and they were there at the end when I received my diploma to pat me on the back and say, well done.
David Murphy was not able to be here today. He actually participated in an organ transplant last night. But Leah and Crystal here at Able 22, please stand and be recognized. These three are part of the story that I want to share with you. In the past decade, thousands of Hoosiers received a degree or credential from Ivy Tech. These people represent everything that our faculty and staff are trying to do to change lives and make Indiana great. Now, I've been the president for not quite 3 years, but I was associated with Ivy Tech both as a businessman and an engineer for 2 decades. What I learned then and what I know now is Ivy Tech doesn't belong to me, the faculty staff. It belongs to you. It belongs to the community. Moreover, as taxpayers, you pay half the tuition cost. That's why you need to know the Ivy Tech story we're going to talk about today, because you have to be able to tell that story. And I think it's important that you're aware of the collective responsibility, as I've said, and the collective opportunity we have to change lives and make Indiana great. Ivy Tech is now a source of pride for Indiana, the largest community college of its kind in the country. 31% growth last year. Our students are of all ages, average age 27, ranging from 15 to 80-something. Freshman class, a remarkable 24,000 students, and approximately 25% are single moms. If you're a single mother in Indiana and you're in college, most likely you are at Ivy Tech. 60% receive financial aid. What this means is that these are people who may not otherwise have a chance to improve their skills or support their families. But there's some things you do not know about Ivy Tech. For example, there are more students in the Indianapolis campus, more students in the Indianapolis campus than there are at Ball State University. So what I'm saying is the Indianapolis campus alone is larger than the fourth largest public university in the state. We have more African Americans enrolled at Ivy Tech than the other higher ed institutions combined. It may surprise you to learn that Ivy Tech is a school of first choice. For example, in Hamilton County, one of the wealthiest counties in the country, 10% of the seniors choose Ivy Tech upon graduation. On the other hand, you probably don't know that 10,000 of our students are in food stamps. You may surprise you finally that 25% of our students transfer to a four-year school. So why do you think all this is happening? Why are we getting all this attention? What is the secret behind Ivy Tech? Well, first of all, it's close. This semester, we're teaching courses at 75 different locations. You can get your two-year degree on one of our 29 campuses. It's affordable. Versus a four-year school, a year at Ivy Tech will save a family $9,000. If room and board were included, it'll save a family $16,000. And finally, we have open enrollment. You have to sign up for Ivy Tech. You have to take a math and English placement test. No other barriers to entry. In fact, I would tell this group, and one or two of you, I won't point any of you out, if you're over 60, you can go for free. Okay? You want to raise your hands, that's okay. So, yeah. So with all these opportunities and all these successes, why are we having so many workforce challenges? Well, I've told people around the state, I believe it's because we grew up in a two-track system, and I was part of that. We either went to a four-year school, or we just went and got a good job in the factory. And the factory job was either with or without a high school diploma. Well, that vision is fading away, and we know that. But there are a lot of Hoosiers that don't yet believe that. But the high-tech companies, sophisticated companies that we serve, Cummins, Honda, Subaru, Caterpillar, Cook, those companies want a high school diploma and beyond. The impact of this two-track system was really pointed out by the Indiana State Chamber because they ran a study, and they found that there were nearly 1 million underprepared workers. And this was before the downturn. Underprepared workers, 650,000 workers with or without a diploma in a job that does not support their family, and 270,000 workers in a good job, at least at that time, but no diploma, a problem waiting to happen. So what's this mean for employers and a lot of employers out there? It means your company will struggle to stay productive and profitable. It means that these million people will struggle to have a good quality of life. It means our economic growth in the state of Indiana will be limited. So how do we overcome these challenges? Well, we can change Indiana, but we must first change lives. And we must do that long before they become underprepared workers, long before they start to think about enrolling at Ivy Tech. That's why I said before, and I say again, we have a shared opportunity and a shared responsibility. We all have a stake in this success. Today, I want to offer some steps that I think can help us move in that direction. I call them, because nobody countered it at the school, Snyder's Steps to Success. I got a lot of support. Okay, I truly believe that if we work together, we can change lives, and we can do some things that will resonate from decades to come. What are these steps? Number one, every child must come prepared for kindergarten. It's essential they get off to a good start. To understand what this means, we can draw on the example of some of the area hospitals and school districts. They're sending home with newborn babies a need-to-know sheet so parents can understand what they have to do. This is a village effort. This is not where Ivy Tech can lead. A significant number of these babies, by the way, are born to single moms. The bar is higher. These families are going to need our extra support. Next, third graders need to be able to read at third grade level. My wife, Bobette, and her Lilly Grant partners in Madison County have been working on this for 8 years and have been closing the bar. They say if you don't read by the end of third grade at third grade level, you may never catch up. That is why I think the governor and Tony Bennett have started to make this a very high priority. It must be a priority from all of us. A couple more you may not have thought of. Eighth grade students and their parents must make the high school graduation decision. As I've traveled around the state and talked to many superintendents and many principals, they see this problem. An eighth grader, typically a boy, says to himself and everyone else, if I get my diploma, I'm going to get a $10 an hour service job. If I don't get my diploma, I'll get the same job. So why bother? A faulty reasoning, a big mistake, driving up our unacceptable dropout rate. Families have got to aim higher. They've got to recognize they've got to go beyond high school, and they've got to finish high school to do that. Eighth grade is the turning point. Next, students must take math their senior year of high school. This is something that we're now learning and understand. Math is the key to success in college. It's a perishable skill. Without recent experience in math concepts, the students will leave high school unprepared for college math. This is resulting in students needing remediation right out of high school. They're not prepared for college, and the state is paying twice to prepare them. We spend $7 million just working on remediation for recent high school graduates. How do we prevent this? It begins with the recognition that 12th grade math is essential. About 60% of our students, whether they're recent graduates, whether they're career changers, you know, as Dave Murphy was, whether they're dislocated workers who haven't touched a pencil in a math problem in 30 years, about 60% are placed in remedial class. We think that's important. Last fall, 21,650 people took these tests at this college readiness. We have a state policy committee. I think Teresa Lubbers is here, and she's on that committee. Commission on Higher Education, the superintendent of schools office, and we're looking at the critical math issue. Because the key is high school testing should tell someone whether they're really prepared to do college work. That's not exactly how it is today. We're going to make that a goal. We're going to solve that. So that's step four, is math in the 12th grade. And I think you did better than we thought, but certainly it's impressive. So if that's important, so what is the extra effort we should be making about students to attend college? Why are we so invested in having that success? Well, this is the final one of Snyder's steps to success, and that is a post-high school credential. When I say a post-high school credential is the key to success, I don't mean just the student. I really mean it's important to Indiana's success. It's important to the businesses that are in Indiana. Remember the two-track system we're trying to overcome. Ivy Tech plays a vital role in the workforce credentials and growing the economy. Today, we're developing people for these middle-skill jobs that really are the heart of the economy. And literally thousands of Hoosiers have stepped up, have enrolled at Ivy Tech in these high-demand occupations, and we're going to show you some of these. These are our most popular programs, and with them are the number of students that are currently involved. Business, with 8,000 students. Education, information technology. I left out medical assisting. Information technology. 4,500 people are studying IT, so if you have IT needs, we're the largest provider. Criminal justice, nursing, accounting, human services, advanced manufacturing, and industrial technology. So literally thousands of students are educating themselves to be part of an economy. These are people that are going to be graduates with 2 years and a career, perhaps even less with a credential. We're the catalyst for that. These are high-paying jobs. In 38 of Indiana's 92 counties, the associate's degree out-earns the four-year degree. These are the jobs that are going to move our underprepared workers into a new career. These are the jobs that our new high school graduates can aspire to without becoming a statistic. These are the jobs that are going to give Hoosiers a better quality of life. And finally, for you, these are the jobs that are going to give you access to the workforce that will grow Indiana's economy. That's why we exist. We exist, as Alicia said, to create talent for those jobs. The world is changing. The world needs more highly skilled talent. We can't wait. Time is not our friend. We have to accelerate the pace at which we're changing the workforce. In the coming months, you're going to hear more about what our plan is called, which is called Accelerating Greatness. It's based on the Jim Collins book, Good to Great. He put out a small book, which we'd be happy to send people, 35 pages, which translates that into the lingo a not-for-profit can understand. Very important, because we in colleges usually say we write management's books, but they don't apply to us. Well, this one actually does. And so we're taking lessons there, and we're building our strategies from there. We have four core strategies. Number one, student success. We need more persistence and more completers. That's the number one job for us. Number two, a globally competitive Indiana. The world is flat, and our students from day one need to understand it. We all need to understand it. Quality and efficiency. And as Crystal said, we've got to have the best return on investment of any four-year or two-year school in the state. And finally, a sustainable resource base. The old model of relying on ever-increasing appropriations from the state of Indiana and ever-increasing tuition costs for the student, that model's fading away. We don't have an answer for that, but we at least recognize that's a problem. But for us to succeed, we really need your partnership. We need to realize that changing lives and making Indiana great is something where we need to work together. We're committed to create the talent. We need to help you and others like you to create the jobs. It's a partnership, really, and it's like the one that we have with Steve Ferguson at Cook. Let's hear from Steve.
Ivy Tech is essential to Indiana to educate our workforce. It's not as much the base education, but preparing them for a job. The basic skills that are required in the 21st century required an education. And Ivy Tech is really the only institution positioned to train that broad workforce. A student can, in 2 years, get a degree that prepares him for a job. you get a direct return, not only in an educated employee, but one who stays in Indiana and hopefully makes a career with Cook. Without an educated workforce, we are not going to move from our 20th and 19th century economic structure in Indiana to the 21st century.
So to serve business and industry, we need to get more people ready. They need to be ready for kindergarten. They need to read at third grade level when they leave third grade. They need to make a decision in eighth grade to finish high school and go to college. No more dropouts. They need to take math as a senior so they're college ready. And they need to be ready and eager for education beyond high school. You need to insist on this as much as I do. Ivy Tech belongs to all of you. And remember, you're paying half the tuition cost anyway. And by the way, at K-12, you're paying all the cost. So it's your responsibility and your opportunity. When I started Ivy Tech, and it happened more than once, some would ask me, what's it like to be an educator? Well, I thought about my journey with Bobette, four children, through high school, all through college, 10 grandchildren, now coaching them in preschool through high school, and soon they're going to be on to college. And I thought, I've always thought of myself as an educator. I've always thought of myself in the talent business, and I think that's what I said. You know, it never changed. You're in the talent business, and frankly, you're all educators. It's critical, each one of you. These are very unique times. We have unique responsibilities, unique opportunities. We at Ivy Tech are eager to accept those responsibilities, leverage the opportunities, work with you on changing lives, making Indiana great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now have time for a little Q&A session, and I might start with a question around collaboration. To what extent, if at all, does Ivy Tech collaborate with other institutions of higher education in the state?
Well, that's not a planned question, but it's very timely. We were talking about this before just this week, and I think this is really terrific. We have a new dean of the Ball State Teachers College, came from Texas, and he just brought with him a program. The program is 2 years at the community college and 2 years at Ball State. The 2 years at the community college can be any one of our 29 campuses. The 2 years at Ball State could be online. And not only that, if you're a teacher's aide and you've been in that school for a certain period of time, you do not have to student teach. So you think about the tens of thousands of teacher's aides out there that are wonderful teachers, could never leave their children to get a credential. We think that's going to be important. We're announcing an engineering technology program with Purdue. It's got to be much more seamless. We've got this kind of collaboration. I'd say that the college presidents, all of us together, all seven of us, recognize we've got to provide the best value. So I'd say this is an era of cooperation that some of you read books from decades ago, we've never had before, and it's going to change a lot in Indiana.
Thank you. You talked about the fact that everyone in the room pays half the tuition. Can you say a little bit about financial aid and the availability of financial aid for your students?
Well, if you're one of the things I think that's recently happened, and it's happened before the Obama administration, but the financial aid form has finally been simplified. Because it was a ponderous form, it was like filling out a full 1040. But what it says and what we tell people, if you have a family income of $45,000 or less, you can probably go to school for free. We need to make sure that message is out there, and we need to make sure that it's easier to do. And then the other thing that we're trying to do, and Joyce Rogers is here today, and that is we're trying to raise more money for scholarships. We're happy to put your name on a building anywhere in the state, but we see the trend of philanthropic giving is to think about how to help these people. Because if you think of Crystal, who's sitting over there, who is going to school, is now working, who is raising three children, Crystal's changed our lives for what she's done in Indianapolis. And all the more scholarship we can help. You don't necessarily, I got a letter on my desk today from someone who couldn't be here, and that is, the transportation and the extra cost for bus fare every day is almost too much for them to afford. So if you think about all the colleges that you support, is think about some scholarship giving for underprivileged students.
Thank you. How does Ivy Tech approach distance learning? Is this an opportunity or a threat or both?
Well, I think it's both an opportunity or a threat. When I started, I told our faculty and staff that that one of their biggest competitors and one of the largest schools in the country has a football stadium but no football team. Okay, University of Phoenix doesn't have a team, doesn't have athletics, has anything. Has 450,000 students, most online. Has more students than the Big Ten combined. Okay. Why we think that's a threat, and that is we think that schools like that can perhaps take away all the schools, the students that have easily ability to pay, and then the school is not able to be able to support all the rest of the students. On the positive side, we're the largest provider of online education in the state, one of the largest in the Midwest. We had 50,000 or so course takers, 25,000 students who are actually taking that. About one-fourth of our students are online. Jeff Pittman is here today. Raise your hand, Jeff. Jeff is Vice Provost for Distance Ed and the Chancellor of the Terre Haute campus. We think it's incredibly important, and we think the future will be that your children and some of you will only spend half of your time, if that. We recently introduced a totally online advanced manufacturing curriculum that we expect to send to people that work on advanced manufacturing around the world called MPRO.
Given the significant increase in student enrollment, how have you kept up with that from a faculty perspective, and how is your recruiting going for faculty members?
Well, let's talk about the enrollment. We actually hired faculty. We started a year and a half ago trying to save internal money. We brought in a procurement department. We consolidate all of our bookstores. We have one of the largest bookstore operations in the country, $75 million worth of books every year. And we took that profit, and we used that to hire more faculty. And I think we hired 80 faculty members. So that's critically important. The other thing we tried to do is Don Doucette and John Weikert, our chancellor from Bloomington, put together an enrollment management team, so we've slightly increased the amount of class size. The average class size, by the way, if you don't know, is only 22 students. So when someone goes to a large research campus and struggles and comes back home and is more successful at Ivy Tech, it's not because we're doing things different. It's just because we have that tight environment that we can do. So we increased the class size slightly, expanded our offering to some more evening classes and weekend. There's a law of diminishing returns here. The funding from the state on a per-student basis has dropped 24% in 2 years. So while we didn't get cut in absolute dollars, our growth is in effect cutting what we do. We think that's critical. Let me say a recruiting pitch here, and that is we're going to continue to need both full-time and part-time. If you do have a master's degree in a related college field, or if you have a technical degree in an area that doesn't need a master's degree, but let's say English and math are our most critical, or you know someone that does, particularly people that are African American, because we have this large population that we want to serve, we want to know about it, because we expect to be hiring between 50 and 100 people going forward as long as we can see.
Well, thank you very much.
That was Scott Snyder. He's the president of Ivy Tech Community College. Scott Miller is the CEO and president of Indianapolis Economic Development Incorporated. He talks about exciting economic developments currently happening in Indianapolis and what to look for in the future. He's also talking about what types of jobs are popular and hiring in Indiana.
We have several clusters that we focus on, life science being one of them, and what we have seen over the last 18 months is that life science seems to be the one that's growing the fastest of any of the clusters. I think having Eli Lilly here in town, and you know, that was an entrepreneurial company that was founded in the late 1800s, but has grown into one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the U.S. So having them here, as well as having the IU Med Center in Indianapolis, has really fostered a lot of small entrepreneurial companies that are now gaining strength and growing. And then in addition, Dow AgroSciences, being up on the northwest side of town. Between Dow and Lilly, they have such a large number of people that they impact throughout the world, but also in Indianapolis through employment. And so life science has been probably the fastest growing area that we've seen over the last 18 months. The other clusters that we focus on are advanced manufacturing, information technology, companies like ExactTarget here in Indianapolis, fast growth companies such as that. motorsports. With the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it's such a great asset for our community, but that continues to be a focus of ours. And then logistics, because of our centralized location in the U.S., we can get products shipped throughout the East Coast within a day's drive. And we've got, I think it's between 65 to 75% of the U.S. population is within a day's drive. So those are kind of our fastest growing areas. And then another reason, I think, is because of the workforce that we do have. With Purdue's Pharmacy School, Butler's Pharmacy School, and then, as I said, the IU Med Center, we've got a lot of people who are being trained that can fill spots within these different organizations. There are three different things that we focus on. We focus on retaining jobs, creating jobs, and attracting jobs. And job retention or retaining jobs would be if we find out that an employer is looking at the possibility of moving out of Indianapolis. Then we would go and work with that employer to say, what are the issues, what would cause you to leave, and what can we do to get you to stay? If they commit to staying, we would count those jobs as jobs that are retained. Created jobs would be jobs for companies who are looking to, say, maybe go from 25 to 75 employees. We would count those as created jobs. And then attracted jobs are jobs that are coming in from anywhere outside of Indianapolis to the city. And so those are the types of jobs that we would measure. So those are the things that we count as job commitments from companies who say, okay, we're going to stay, or okay, we're going to grow, or okay, we're going to come to Indianapolis. Already in the first 45 days of this year, over 3,000 job commitments have been made here in Indianapolis. Last year, we had 11,000 job commitments for the entire year. So at 3,000 job commitments, that would put you on pace to more than double last year's total job commitments, which is so important to get job commitments. It's about retaining great jobs here, but also attracting and bringing new jobs. So that being said, last year's 11,000 job commitments was the second best year in the last decade, even in what we would call the Great Recession of 2009. So number one is that Indianapolis is vibrant as it relates to its job commitments and beginning to put people back to work that have lost their jobs during this recession. The second great thing that I think is happening in the city today is the focus on sustainability. The mayor and his office have taken a real stance on how do we become a more sustainable city. One of the great things that just happened over the last few days is the federal government funding of an additional $20.5 million to help finish our cultural trail. It will get more people biking, more people getting out of their cars, exercising, and helping make our city more sustainable. So I think our sustainability initiative is the second real exciting thing. And then the third thing that I think is really exciting is the completion of our convention center, or the expansion and soon-to-be completion of our convention center. Because what that does is it brings people from all over the world to Indianapolis for these conventions. And at those conventions, we can then sell the city to them. And most people who come here, if we can get a company to come and visit, we can generally sell them on doing business in our city.
That was Scott Miller. Miller is the president of Indianapolis Development Incorporated. You've been listening to the Economic Club of Indiana. Next month's speaker is Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. Be sure to join us for that. The Economic Club of Indiana is a production of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations. I'm Mary Hartnett.
ProLiance Energy, providing natural gas to more than 1,200 commercial, industrial, utility, and municipal customers. ProLiance, adding power to energy. Information is at ProLiance.com.